So I want you to turn to page Tzadi Dalet. And we're going to look at Os Mem Gimel. That's where we want to start, and I think that's where we left off. I'll just close the door. Of course, it's hard for me to hear myself think over here. Okay. So we're talking about Rabbi Kiva Eiger and Habal Akusis. And if you remember, Rashi identifies Akusis as Geri Arayis, which means she's a Nachris. And both Rabbi Kiva Eiger and Afla were perplexed. How could the mission establish that Baal Akusis pays Knas? We have a principle called Kimlei B'Derabim, that if someone is Chayav Misa, then they don't pay any sort of monetary penalties. And in the case of Knas, in Baal Akusis, we have a prime example of Kimlei B'Derabim. Why? Because the Gemara establishes that Kanoim Pogimbo, that when a man has a relationship with a Nachris, then Kanoim Pogimbo, he could be put to death. And when a person is got a Chiyuv Misa hanging over his head, that he breaks Kalim, or in this case he incurs a Chiyuv Knas, he doesn't have to pay any sort of monetary penalties. So how could our mission establish that in the case of Habal Akusis, which Rashi says she's a Nachris, that he pays Knas? What about the principle of Kanoim Pogimbo? And right now we're not willing to say that Kanoim Pogimbo is conditional on the fact that it took place in the presence of 10 men. We'll get to that in the Shiore HaKorban on the left side of our page. Because right now we're assuming that in all cases, whether or not there was a public spectacle or it was in private, he pays the knas. The Mishnah did not qualify. So if we assume that even in the case of a public nature of this action, he pays knas, well, Kanoim Pogimbo applies. There's a Chiyuv Misa, like an albatross hanging over his head, and therefore Kimlei B'Derabim, he should not be paying knas. Now the assumption here that underlies Rabbi Kivega's kasha is that Kanoim Pogimbo is enough to create Kimlei B'Derabim. Rabbi Kivega answers that, well, we're not talking about a vadai, even though in the original round of the kusim they were gere arayos, but some point in the future some of them actually underwent a sincere gerus and became real Jews, and maybe there was also an admixture of Jewish women who married into Kusi families. So when a man has a relationship with a Kusis, we never could be absolutely sure that she's a Nachris. And given that suffake, we cannot apply the rule of Kanoim Pogimbo. And we had a long discussion about this in the past. Today's discussion is about the very premise of Rabbi Kivega and Afla, that Kanoim Pogimbo would be considered a Chiyuv Misa that would knock off the Tashlumin under the principle of Kimlei B'Derabim. And we're not sure if this is really true, because as we mentioned yesterday in the name of the Ramah, he says that there's no mitzvah of Kanoim Pogimbo. What does that mean, there's no mitzvah of Kanoim Pogimbo? After all, Pinchas was granted a great schar of Briskudas Olam because he fulfilled this Kanoim Pogimbo and he killed Zimri. So the Ramah says that Kanoim Pogimbo is a reshus. It's not a mitzvah. In other words, the Torah gave you license and a green light to put this person to death, but that's not a mitzvah. And the Yad Ramah explains even further that if Zimri were to turn around and kill Pinchas, again, Zimri was a little bit preoccupied with something, I'm not going to go into detail, but if he wasn't, and he had time to turn around with his sword and kill Pinchas, he would not be tried as a murderer, because Pinchas has the status of a rodef. And when it comes to a rodef, the halacha is, you're allowed to kill the rodef. So there's an odd situation here. Pinchas is a kanoi, and he is implementing kanoi in Pogimbo, he has reshus to do so. On the other hand, since he's not obligated, says the Ramah, Zimri has the status of a nirdaf, and he therefore has rights to protect himself, self-protection, and he can kill Pinchas. And if he goes ahead and kills Pinchas, sorry Charlie, Peyo will give him a good burial, but you can't take Zimri to court for that, because he is just simply involved in self defense, and that's called a nirdaf. So therefore, it comes out to, according to Yad Ramah, there's really no chiv misa in the case of Chanoim Pogimbo. In fact, if we were to ask a Rav what to do while this thing is happening, a man is having relations with a Nachris in public, should we kill the guy? Well, it's called Halach of Ein Morin Kain. It's the Moral Rav would not tell you, go and kill him, because according to the Yad Ramah, there's only Rishus to kill him. And again, you'd be taking your life into your own hands if you ran after this Zimri, because who knows if Zimri doesn't have, some sort of a dagger in his back and he's going to turn around and kill you before you kill him. But in any event, there's an amazing chiddush of Rabbi Kiveger and Aflo, which is a little bit subtle, that they assume that if it's Kanoim Pogimbo, then we have a chiv misa, and therefore any monetary payments that would be incurred while they have the status of Kanoim Pogimbo, namely if during the Be'ila there's a knas of Chamishim Kesef, they don't have to pay that knas, because while the Be'il is going on, Kanoim Pogimbo, there's a Chiv Misa hanging over their head, the head of the Boel, I mean to say. Again, all based on Rashi, who holds that Kusis is Geri Arayos.
At what point does the Kanoim Pogimbo kick in? I mean, intent? Actual Misa?
Only the actual Misa.
So
you've got about 5 minutes to pull this off. Yes. As soon as he's Poresh, you can no longer kill him.
Right. So I never understood the story of Pinchas, that Pinchas killed the mamish during the mice.
Yeah, not only that, he killed not only him, he killed her as well, because they were connected.
I just thought they were like.
And I'm not going to tell you which part of the body the sword went into on both him and her. We're not going to talk about that publicly. But if you use your imagination, you'll fill in the blanks. So we're in a situation of a Maisa Bia, it's a Nachris, and it's a Jew, and they are committing this act publicly. That's called Kanoim Pogimbo as this act is going on. Now that act also generates a Chiv Knas. That's Rashi's unique Shita, that you pay Knas in the case of a Nachris. Which is okay. We worked that out with the Gemara in Ksuba Staf Yud Aleph, that if we know that she's not going to use the money for idol worship, etc., etc. So now the Mishnah says Habal Akusis pays Knas, says Rabbi Kivega. But what about Kanoim Pogimbo? Because Rashi identifies the Kusis as a Nachris. If that be the case, then Rabbi Kivega is assuming that Kanoim Pogimbo applies even the case of. I'm sorry, that Kimle to the Rabbi Vinay applies even in the case of Kanon Pogimbo. Now, Kanon Pogimbo means, according to Rabbi Kivega, there's a Chiv Misa. And as a result of the Chiv Misa, he doesn't pay damages. Or in this case, he doesn't pay Knas. That's Kimle to the Rabbi Vinay. And that was the very premise of Rabbi Kivega. And that's going to force Rabbi Kivega to rewrite the script, that even though Rashi says, Geri Arayas Haim, it's not true that they were all Geri Arayas Haim. Some of them were actual Jewish women, and they had a sincere, complete Geirus. But before we get to the answer of Rabbi Kivega, let's just think about the premise of Rabbi Kivega that compelled Rabbi Kivega to come to this conclusion that Geri Arayas doesn't mean exactly what we think it means, and there's an admixture of Jewish blood, and therefore there's a suffix, and we can't put him to death because maybe, in fact, he's having a relationship with a Jewish girl. And there's no Kanoim Pogimbo. But Enochinami, if there was a Kanoim Pogimbo, meaning if there was no suffix about her status, and she was one of the original Kusios of Geri Arayos, then we would apply the principle of Kim Levi the Ramine, there would be no Chiv of Knas. Why? Because Kanoim Pogimbo. Well, I can grant you that there's a Chiv Misa here in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, if I grant you that Kanoim Pogimbo is a mitzvah. But the Yad Ramah assumes that Kanoim Pogimbo is not a mitzvah, it's only a reshus. So now we have a radical conclusion here. I'm going to see how that plays out in many different scenarios, like in the case of Rodev, in the case of Baba Machteres, in the case of a Gol Adam. In all these cases, we're going to have to see if we can apply the principle of Reb Kiveger, that even in a reshus, we still have a Kim Lev the Rabbine, because Kim Lev the Rabbine means that the person doesn't have a right to life, so to speak. They don't continue to living because they're involved in an action of Kanoim Pogimbo. And Kanoim Pogimbo gives license to kill this person, like Ein Lo Damin. If that be the case, then Rabbi Kiveger is committed to the following position. Again, if we assume like the Yad Ramah, right now we don't know anyone who disagrees with the Yad Ramah. The Yad Ramah says that Kanoim Pogimbo is a Rishus but not a Mitzvah. Hence the Gemara says, Halacha V'ein Morin Kein. Well, now we have a very radical position. Then Rabbi Kiveger is telling us that if there's a Rishus to kill someone, that person comes under the Halacha of Kim Levi the Rabbi and he pays no damages. So in the case of Geira Arias, if we know for sure that she's a Nachris, there would not be Knas, even according to Rashi, because of another explanation, which is called Kanoim Pogimbo. So do we have it, Rabbi? Just to summarize everything we've been saying for the last, let's say, 8 minutes, is that whenever this Kanoim Pogimbo, according to Rabbi Kiveger, there will be a Kim Levi the Rabbi to pat you up from any damages that were incurred Tok Kidei the Maisa that was a Mechayev you in Misa. Again, there's not a Misa in the sense of a mitzvah, but there's a Rishus. Once there's a Rishus, that's enough to activate the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbinet. We would never have said this without Rabbi Kiveger. We would have said that what's Kim Levi the Rabbinet? There's a Chiyuv Misa. Chiyuv Misa means this person has to be put to death. Well, I have news for you. There's no Chiyuv Misa. This person doesn't have to be put to death. In fact, if Pinchas goes ahead and takes this license to kill Zimri, Pinchas is putting his life into danger because Zimri, within the halachic frame of reference, is allowed to defend himself against Pinchas, and Habola Hargucha Ashkem Lehargo, Pinchas is a rodef as far as Zimri is concerned. Zimri, if he wasn't too preoccupied with what he's doing, he would turn around if he had a dagger, he would kill Pinchas. And I don't know if today people would name their children Pinchas. I don't know. Well, what would have happened? Yesh Lachar. You know, because Pinchas would never have achieved his goal of killing Zimri. On the other hand, Pinchas would be buried 6 feet under because Zimri did him under. And Zimri's allowed to do him under because Pinchas is a rodef.
Ask Rav Scheinberg.
Ask Rav Scheinberg, what is he going to do in such a case? No, my father asked, they asked Rav Moshe Bick once, you know, what do we do in this case? Oh, Rav Moshe Bick says, I would take out a sword and kill him on the spot. They were sitting at a chassid and they were schmoozing. So the rabbis were joking around. Rav Moshe Bick had a tremendous sense of humor. He was a kanoish of a kanoish, but he had a fabulous sense of humor. Anyway, now we want to know, does the Yad Ramah's premise that in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, there's only Rishus, but there's no Mitzvah. And number two, what we want to know is, do we apply the principle of Kim Levi the Rabbi, as Rabbi Kiva Eger did, even when it's only Rishus, and there's no Chiyuv, there's no Mitzvah? So for that, we want to do a comparative study, carefully reading meticulously two Rambams and comparing the language of the Rambam in one place to the Rambam to his language in another place. The Rambam has the laws of Rodev in Hilchas Rotseach. He has the laws of Bava Machteres in Hilchas Gneva. So now we're opening up Perek Aleph Mehilchas Rotseach. And the Rambam writes that HaRodef Achar Chavero LaHargo Kol Yisrael Mitzuvim LaHatzil Es HaNirdof Miyad HaRodef. Listen to the language of the Rambam. He can't be more clear. He says that there's a mitzvah to kill the Rodef if there's no other option. Again, we have a possibility of Yachal LaHatzilo, he could save the Nirdof Yachal Nevara, but assuming that possibility is out, then there's a mitzvah, the Rambam says, and who's obligated in the mitzvah? Is it only the Nirdof? Kol Yisrael Mitzuvim, every Jew is Mitzuvah. Mitzuvah means you can't just say, well, I'm not getting involved. You know, the famous Western phrase, mind your own business. No, there's no such thing as mind your own business. The Torah says, Lo Tamid El Tam Riachah, you have to kill the Rodef if that's the only way you can save the Nirdof. Call Yisrael Mitzuvah. But now, let's fast forward to the Rambam in Bava Machteres. And let's again read the language clearly. Let's hear the Rambam's words enter into our ears. The Rambam writes in Perek Tes Milchus Geneva, Rishus lekol lehargo, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, b'chol misa shichom la misa. A burglar breaks into your house. He's an armed robber. You don't have to confront him. You could stay asleep. But if you decide that you want to confront him, you can kill him in any misa that you want. Does the Rambam say mitzuveh? Does the Rambam say mitzuveh kol Yisrael? The Rambam is very clear. He's very outspoken. He says rishus lakol lahargo. This is exactly what the Yad Ramah said about Kanoim Pogimbo. What the Ramah says about Kanoim Pogimbo is what the Rambam says about Baba Machteres. But I have news for you. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph that if this burglar breaks kelim while he's in your house, he's potter. He doesn't have to pay for kelim. Why? Because of Kim Leib the Rabbi Mine. Here we see a clear cut proof to Rabbi Kiveger, namely that even if you have only a rishus to kill someone, there's no mitzvah to kill him. Like in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, we still activate the principle of Kim Leib the Rabbi Mine, despite the absence of a mitzvah. And I'll prove it to you. A, because the Rambam clearly says that Baba Machteres is only a rishus, it's not a mitzvah. He says rishus lakol lahargo, and yet the Gemara in Sanhedrin establishes, and that's how we paskin, that in a Baba Machteres v'shiber kelim potur. Why? Because of Kim Leib the Rabbi Mine. Alma, what do we see from this halacha of Baba Machteres that this Kim Leib? That even if there's no chiyuv misa, there's only a rishus lahargo, that's enough to engender the principle of kimle b'derabine. So we have a support now for Rabbi Kiveger. If you can keep in mind this equation, this analogy between Baba Machteres and Kanoim Pogimbo, that in Baba Machteres we see clearly, based on the Rambam, that a rishus is enough to generate kimle b'derabine. And Rabbi Kiveger extends this to the case of Kanoim Pogimbo. If a man has a relationship with a nachris, he does not pay knas. Why doesn't he pay knas? Not the way Tosa says it, because the Torah never gave knas to a nachris. No. If we know that the nachris is going to use the money wisely, meaning not for paganistic purposes, we will give her the knas. But we won't give her the knas for a different reason, and that is because of Kanoim Pogimbo. Hence, the Mishnah, which says that Baal Akusis pays knas, is talking about a case where she's not necessarily a goyita. And again, I'm not going to go over an hour's discussion that we had yesterday about the fact that if there's a suffix, we cannot apply the principle of Kanon Pogimbo. But if we had a vadai, and we know that this girl is a genuine kusis of the original ilk, which is called Geri Arias, namely, she's a nachris, then guess what? Our mission doesn't apply. There would be no chiyuv knas, even though Rashi is committed to the position that Baal HaNachris pays a knas, but not in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, because there's a Rishus Lahargo, and as Rabbi Kiveger says, Rishus Lahargo is enough to activate the principle of Kim Leib the Rabbi Mineh, and we see it. The source of this is going to be Baba Machteres, which is a Rishus, as the Rambam says it, and yet the Gemara applies Kim Leib Rabine to the Baba Machteres who breaks Kalim, and he's potter. The one who's upset about all this is Rav Meir Simcha, which you'll see in footnote number Vav. He doesn't understand how could it be possible that we're going to apply Kim Leib the Rabine in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo and say that he's potter from Tashlum. If the Boel, right, the Bo, I call him, is allowed to turn around to the Kanoi, and he's allowed to kill him because the Kanoi himself is a Rodev, he says, Uki Gavra Keneged Gavra, Uki Boel Keneged Kanoi. They're basically equal. So what are we going to say? We're going to say that Kim Leib the Rabbi Mine? We're going to say that we're going to give you the higher punishment? I mean, he's not worthy of punishment any more than the Kanoi is worthy of punishment. If the Kanoi could be put to death, then why are you putting all the blame on the Boel and saying that he's to be put to death? They're both on the same level. How can you choose one over the other, tip the scale, and say, you know what, the Boel is worthy of Misa, and therefore he's not going to pay damages, but the Kanoi, you know, he's the Pinchas here in this case, he's there's nothing wrong with him. I mean, what do you mean there's nothing wrong with him? He's a Rodev. His life is worth nothing, because because Pinchas, because Zimri, excuse me, could turn around and kill him. Now Yosef says, well, only Pinchas is allowed to, only Zimri is allowed to kill. So this really is a whole discussion in the Arsamech. The Arsamech wants to suggest that there's such a thing as killing a Rodev, which is only allowed for one person on the face of the earth. And that's the case of Pinchas and Zimri. When Pinchas, according to Yad Ramah, is a Rodev, as a Kanoi, because a Kanoi and Pogubo, then only one person on the face of the earth is allowed to kill him. And that's Zimri. And Tzarchim Gadol, again, that requires a tremendous amount of work. But I want to study with you today is the Shiari HaKarbon. And I have to tell you honestly, in the few occasions I've had to learn a little bit of Yerushalmi, which I did with my friend Rabbi Ilson, we looked into the Pnei Moshe and the Karbon Eidah. The Shiari HaKarbon was not on the agenda. But, you know, we're always interested in expanding our repertoire. So here we're going to expand that repertoire to the Shiari HaKarbon. And he asks the following question. He says, what is the assumption, the premise of Rabbi Kiveger and the Haflah that Kimle Beraminate applies in the case of Kusis, if you assume like Rashi, Geira Arayas, and Akanoim Pogimbo? He says the following. Who says that the Mishnah is talking about a case of Bala Kusis Bifnei Asara Bifarhesia? Who told you such a thing? Who says that Kanoim Pogimbo? Maybe it's not Kanoim Pogimbo. Maybe we're talking about a case where the Boel was in the privacy of I don't know where, he found a private place there, and never he did what he did to this woman. And there's no Kanoim Pogimbo because it's not Bifnei Asara. So he says the following. It doesn't matter whether it's Bifnei Asara. What matters is that the action itself lends itself to Kanoim Pogimbo. Theoretically, we're going to climb up to theoretical realms. How does he know that Kimlev the Ramane applies in the theoretical realms? Maybe it means he's Chayav Misa for the action that he's employing, that he's implementing. He learns it from Chayav Misa Shogigin. Chayav Misa Shogigin. So a person falls from a ladder and he kills someone else, he doesn't have to pay if he broke the rungs of the ladder. Even though he's not Chayav Misa Befal, we can't kill him, he's a shogeg, but the answer is that potentially, in this action, he could be Chayav Misa. This action itself lends itself to generating a Chayav Misa. Why? Because he's involved in Ritzicha. He's a shogeg. Okay, he's part of Onshin. We cannot punish him. But the action itself, in a theoretical sense, is defined as an action Shiyeshbo Ispe Chiyuv Misa. She says the following. Kanoim Pogimbo, says Rabbi Kiveger. If the man has a Be'ila with a Nachris, it matters not whether it's public or private. In any case, it's a Maisa that could be Machayev Misa under the law of Kanon Pogmo if only I would fulfill the condition that there are another 9 people or maybe another 10 people who are present. So he says the following. Tzarech Iyun. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the paragraph. Tzarech Iyun. Delo Dami Lechayev Misa Shogigin. How could the Shiari HaKarbon accept the analogy between Chayav Misa Shogigin and the case of Ba'al HaNachris Bifnei Tisha, in other words, less than Asar, says the following. Tzarech Im. Hasam, in the case of Chayav Misa Shogigin, Ilu HaYamasrim Bo, we didn't give Masra before he incurred this Chayav Misa.
We did.
But had we given him an Asra, then for this very action that he's about to implement, he'd be Chayav Misa. However, Masha Enke, that's not true in the case of Tzina in Baal HaNachris. There, that's not an action which could even potentially generate a Chayav Misa. You'd have to change the rules of the game, change the scenario entirely. It's not just that you need a Asra. Hasra hin, hasra her wouldn't change the din. The din, in order to engender Kanoim Pogimbo, would require a whole different Maisa. A Maisa that was implemented in the public eye in front of Asara. So therefore, there's no justification for the Shiori HaKarma to make this jump, this analogy between Chayvei Misa Shogigin and the case of Baal HaNochris Shelo Bifnei Asor. In the case of Chayvei Misa Shogigin, we're missing one element in the equation, the Tnai of Hasra. Had we had Hasra, that very Misa would be what? Would be a Chayvei Misa. Then we can apply the principle of Tanit Bechizkia, which we accept La Locha, of Chayvei Misa Shogigin, apply Kim Levi Rabbanan. But in the case of Baal Ebetzina, he says the following. There's no Maisa here that could be Machayev, Kano, and Pogimbo. You'd have to change the facts on the ground. You've got to introduce 10 people. I mean, I always wondered if, let's say, there was a video camera, well, that would be enough if 10 people were looking through a video camera. You know, that today, you can't do anything in private, because whatever you do in private is really in public. Maybe that's a great Musa Shmuz, because everybody is watching you through some sort of video, or whatever you call it.
The only thing you're lacking now is Adam. No, you're lacking 10 people.
Right.
So by Shogate, you're lacking Adam. So what's the difference? It's the same.
I'm not sure if I know what you mean. Chayvei Misa Shogigin means the what to aid him, but they didn't give him an asra. And Kano and Pogobo, there were 10 witnesses who saw the crime. So he's saying that the Shari HaKorban is not justified in making an analogy. And Chayvei Misa Shogigin, what we're saying is that this very action generates a Chayvei Misa. Lomaisa, we're not going to kill him because missing.
Here. You'd be Michalik. By Shoge, if the reason is the Shoge because there was no Asra, or the reason is the Shoge because there's no Edom.
Not sure what you mean by no Edom, or by there are Edom.
You're saying by the Nachris that the difference is because there's no one around. There were 9 people there, so it wasn't Merabin.
Right, 9 or 10.
So I'm equating that with the Edom in the fact that you're missing something. You're saying you're not missing anything by Shoge. Because the mice itself is a mice and misa.
Correct.
But here, it's not a mice because there's no one around.
And therefore it doesn't generate
right. So I'm equating the fact that there's no one around with the fact that there's no agent.
But that's not so. Because again, in the case of Hasra, basically we need to know that he's amazing. If we would know he was amazing, then we would put him to death. The technicality is just a matter of how to clarify that he's amazing.
There is Hasra. We know he's amazing, but there's no Edom.
If there's no Edom, so you want to know whether...
The mice is still there. The mice and misa is still there.
Again, you know, you're boggling my mind here. Like, oh, usually Alan would do this, but now Herb is doing what Alan does. You're changing the rules of the game. I can sit down, if you give me 5 or 10 minutes and try to think of the case that you're dealing with. Would there be Kim Leibniz Rabine if somebody committed murder and at the same time he broke Kalim if there were no Aiden? I have to think about that.
Okay.
But again, that requires a lot of thought. My impression would be that the whole discussion that you're raising doesn't get off the ground because if there are no Edom, then there's no Chiv Mamon. Why? Because Hamotzi B'chav V'Araya, and until you can prove that he did this action and he destroyed someone's Kalim, so I assume that there are always Edom. But if you want, we can think about that. My point here is to try to understand...
I hear your point.
Okay, but I don't hear my point. I'm about to give you my point. I haven't given you my point yet. My point is there an analogy between these two cases? The Shiori HaKorban assumes yes. What is this analogy? He's saying that there's like a technical problem here in Baal HaKusis in the fact that there are no Asara there. If we could just solve that problem and invite 10 people in, then there would be a Chiv Misa. So that very Misa is lacking the public nature. If it was done in public, that same Misa would generate a Chiv Misa. Therefore, it's identical to the case of Chayvei Misa Shogigin. Azoi Zotik Tishyar HaKarma, because the Chayvei Misa Shogigin, we're missing a technicality. The Misa itself contains within it a Chiv Misa. What's the shlug up here? What's the counter argument to the Shiori HaKorban? I'll tell you what it is. Yesh lachkar. What does it mean b'fnei asara? Is that a technicality, what we call a t'nai? The Gemara in Ksubis calls it a t'nai milsach ritahi. Or no, the 10 people generate the nature of the maisa. They change the maisa. In a case of Ritzicha, Reuven killed Shimon. Can we put Reuven to death? Well, there are all sorts of conditions. Those are tnaim. Because as far as the onshim is concerned, there are many different conditions that have to be fulfilled. In the case of Asara, in Kanoim Pogibo, this is not a condition that has to be fulfilled in the implementation of Kanoim Pogibo. Nein, this defines the Maisa Machayev. There's a fundamental difference in terms of Kanoim Pogibo between someone who does this action in private and someone who does this action in public. In Chil Shabbos, for example, you don't need public. Okay, as far as Mubers is concerned, you need public. So there's a din of Farhesia in Chil Shabbos. But I would never say that Chil Shabbos is conditional on Farhesia. Farhesia, no doubt, jacks up the nature of the Chiyuv and the nature of the Avera. But it's not a condition in defining the Avera. Not so in the case of Kanoim Pogibo. Kanoim Pogibo is simply a result of the fact that this Farhesia. The Farhesia is exactly what generates the essential Maisa. It's essential to the Maisa. It's not just an external condition. In the case of a Ritzicha, I can define the Ritzicha as a Maisa Ritzicha. I can say he's parted from Onshim because there was no Asra. He got out in a technical foul. So one of the conditions necessary for putting him to death was not met. But the Maisa was certainly a Maisa Ritzicha, and that's a Maisa Machayev Misa. Masha Enkin, in the case of Tzina, of Baal Akusis, Baal Anachus, but Tzina, I would say in such a case, that's a different kind of Maisa. Again, he's fulfilling his pleasures and so forth and so on, but that's not what it's all about. Kanoim Pogibo is about the public nature of this action. Why did Pinchas put Zimri to death? Because of the public Chil Hashem. This is a fundamental difference between Tzina and Farhesia. You could blame him with Tzina for an Avera, but it's not the Avera of Kanoim Pogibo. It's a whole different kind of an Avera. Once it's for Farhesia, that changes the essential nature of the Avera. Now, Kanoim Pogibo comes to the fore. So to say that I'm going to apply Kimlei Ramine and Kanoim Pogibo in a case where there were no Asara, simply because it could have been Asara, that's a major mistake. And that's not at all comparable to the case of Chayvi Misus Shogi. Okay, Rabbi, so now what we want to look at is number Mem Dalit. And this is on page Tzadi He. Again, you may have to juggle around the pages, turn it this way, turn it that way, but you should find page Tzadi He in your packet. Just 1 second. I wrote my notes here on here, so I'd rather. Does anybody need a copy, by the way? I just happened to.
Yeah, thank
you. Now, I was using it because I made some underlines, but I'd rather use the original because I wrote my notes on the side.
You have to copy the original?
Yeah. So Rabosai, what I want to learn with you now, again I'm expanding my repertoire here, I've never heard of this sefer, it's called Shoshanat HaMakim. And this you'll see on page Tzadi He, if you look in the footnotes, you'll see it's number Tes. Now the text itself is on the top of the page, and that's what we want to look at. But I realize now that this paragraph starts on page Tzadi Dalid Omid Aleph. I mean on the previous page. So if you don't mind the extra effort here, you'll get extra schar mitzvah if you turn back to page Tzadi Dalid. And there's a Rambam in Perek Yud Beis Mehilchas Isurei Bir. And we're going to try to read this Rambam very carefully, as the Shoshanas HaMokim commands us, so to speak, to do. The Rambam says the following. A Jewish man, Nebuch, had a relationship with a Nachris. The halacha is Kanoim Pogimbo. But for one reason or another, Lo Pogubo Kanoim. Okay, no one was willing to put his life in danger and go out and kill the boy. Then the Rambam goes on and says, "Velo hilkehu hilkuhu bezdin." Please underline those words. We'll come right back to that. Says the Rambam, "Hare oncho mefurash bedivrei Kabbalah shehu bekaris." So a man has a relationship with a shiksa, and he thinks he can get away with it. There are no kanoim around. He looks to the left. He looks to the right. Bezdin is not going to put him. You know, he's not going to give malchus for violating the isulotis chatein bom, etc. So the man thinks he got away scot free. He had a blast. Says the Rambam, "No, you're fooling yourself, because he's chayav kares nidivrei kabbalah." Now, exactly what kares nidivrei kabbalah is, I don't know. Don't ask me, because if you ask me, you'll just embarrass me. But there is such a thing as kares midirei kabbalah, meaning that the Torah didn't say v'nichrasa, but we're going to quote a pasuk in Tanakh, and based on a pasuk in Tanakh, we're going to derive the conclusion that you're chayiv kares. Says the Magid Mishnah that we have the following rule. If a person implements an avera for which he's chayav kares, then there are two choices. I mean to say two alternatives. Either he gets malchus or he gets kares. He doesn't suffer both punishments, because we're going to apply the principle of kidei rishasa. So he gets one punishment. The Rambam is telling us that because there was no malchus in this case, therefore he gets kares. Says the Magid Mishnah, had there been malchus, he would not be chayav kares. Okay, now, let's ask the following question. The Rambam, what scenario is he talking about? I'll give you two possibilities. He's talking about sinna, or he's talking about Farhesia. What's the answer?
Farhesia.
Farhesia. He has to be talking about Farhesia, because the Rambam is saying that lo pogubo kanon, the kanon didn't do what they had to do, so to speak.
In order for that to happen, there has to be
Farhesia. So we're talking about a case of Farhesia. And the Rambam says that he violates the law of having a relationship with a nochris, and we should give him malchus. If we give malchus, he's potter from kares. The Rambam also says, in this particular case, because it's befarhesia, that there should have been kanoim pogimbo. Now, the Rambam says that they didn't give him malchus. He should have gotten malchus. And as the Magid Mishnah points out, had he got malchus, again, it's not easy to get malchus, it's not comfortable, lo na'im, as the Israelis say, but nevertheless, he gets a basic advantage that he spares himself of kares. He didn't get malchus. The Rambam says the following, that this is a case of kanoim pogimbo, and we would apply the principle of Kimlei B'Rabinei to exempt him from kares, if and only if he got malchus. So the Rambam is talking about a metzius of kanoim pogimbo, and yet the Rambam applies the principle of Kimlei B'Rabinei. Well, let me read this again. I'm sorry, the mathematics I have to get over. Alma de kanoim pogimbo. Just 1 second. I'm sorry. And what happened over here? The Rambam is saying that what? That there's a case of kanoim pogibo, correct? Just 1 second. It's for give me 1 second. Sorry, Rabosai, you know my style. I can't be disturbed when I get into a mathematical problem. Because as Socrates says, I mean, when he wrote the Republic about 2,000 years ago, you can't explain math to anybody. You got to come to understand math on your own. That was Socrates' chiddush 2,000 years ago. For me, it's definitely true. I got to figure this out myself. So give me 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. It's just fine. The Rambam is telling you that since this was Befar Hesio, he's Chayiv Kores. But the Rambam says that if he would have gotten Malchus, then he'd be potter from kares. So this malchus here for violating lotus kati, he didn't get the malchus, but he should have gotten the malchus, correct? And he should have gotten malchus. He should have gotten malchus, and that would have potted him from kares. Fine. That's not the main point over here. The main point is, why is he chayev malchus? How could the Rambam say that he's chayev malchus? They didn't implement that malchus, but he's chayev malchus. We're talking about a scenario of farhesia, because the Rambam says that the kanoim pogumbo kicks in here. Again, nobody implemented it. Mm-hmm. Now, let's ask the following question. If it's a case of kanoim pogumbo, then according to Rabbi Kiveger, in kanoim pogumbo, we apply the principle of kimlev the ramine. This despite the fact that it's only a reshus. So Mamela, there shouldn't be malchus. How could the Rambam say that there's an either or? Either he gets malchus and he's potter from kares, or if he doesn't get malchus, he'll suffer the punishment of kares. How could the Rambam even entertain the possibility of malchus? There is no possibility of malchus here, because we're talking about a case of kanoim pogumbo. We just finished saying that according to Rabbi Kiveger, whenever there's kanoim pogumbo, according to Rabbi Kiveger, if there would be, when there is kanoim pogumbo, then there's kimlev the rabbinine, right? Because that was Rabbi Kiveger's problem, again, that in a bal akusis, since it's kanoim pogumbo, he should not be paying knas. So the principle of kanoim pogumbo, whenever it applies, patters you up from tashlumi mamon. If it patters you up from tashlumi mamon, then it should patter you up from malchus as well. Again, this depends on Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. I'm not sure exactly how to work this out with Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. But anyway, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana is of the opinion that when there's kares, then the kares knocks off the chi of malchus. Again, if he gets malchus, which we would normally give a malchus, then he has no chi of kares. But if there's no malchus, then he's chai of kares. But not only that, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says that if he's chayiv kares, then he should be potter from malchus. Why? Because of kimlev the rabbinah, correct? That was the Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana of Hasorev Kedisha Shel Chaver B'Yom HaKippurim. Let's just go over this. I'm going over for myself, and I'm sorry. I know, Herb, you understand it the first time around, so I know how frustrated you are, but I need to review things. That's just the way I am. So again, so Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana said that Hasorev Kedisha Shel Chaver B'Yom HaKippurim is potter because the chiv kares of violating Yom HaKippurim. Correct? Let's assume that Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana uses kares not only to potter up a chiv mamon, but also to potter up a chiv malchus. That just like Misa, now this is true according to Rava. This paragraph, I think, is predicated on Rav, I think. I don't have the Shoshana Samokim. Rav is the one who says that Rav Nechunya ben Akana derives his halacha from no saying Zaro Lemolech, because in that case, the Torah provides us with a principle that Kares equals Misa, and it's a substitute for Misa. No, Misa and Malchus, we say that there's no Malchus. So therefore, Misa, in the case of Kares, which is Misa, according to Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, would now knock off Malchus. I'm not sure if we could twist around his arm to all this. I don't know. But anyway, let's make this premise. If that be the case, how could the Rambam say that in this case of Kanoim Pogimbo, when he gets Malchus, what about Kimlev the Rabbinine? Alma, let me read you this inside, then I'll take your comments. Alma, the kanoim pogimbo, eino poter mi malchus, vi ein kandin Kimlev the Rabbinine, vi im kain, gamle gali chiv momen, lo I'm reading Kimlev the Rabbinine, mishum shuhu re'ah. So you'll ask me the following question: what happened to Kimlev the Rabbinine? Rabbi Kiveger is right. If there's kanoim pogumbo, there's a chi of misa, so that should knock off the chi of mamon. It should knock off the chi of malchus. The answer is no, because it's only a reshus. And when do we apply kimlev rabine? When there's a chi of misa of a mitzvah. But if there's no chi of mitzvah to kill the person, that means that basically he's not chayiv misa. Again, you have a reshus, but there's no chayiv misa. Hence, there's no kimle in the rabbinim. So what we're saying now is that this Rambam is against Rabbi Kivega, because Rabbi Kivega insists that when there's kimle in the rabbinim, there is kanoim. Whenever there is kanoim pogubo, the problem is the two kufs over here. But whenever there's kanoim pogubo, ipso facto, there's going to be kimle the rabbinim. Well, here's a case where there's kanoim pogubo, and yet there's no kimle the rabbinim, because the Rambam assumes that he's chayav malchus. Why would he be chayav malchus if there's kanoim pogubo? According to Rabbi Kivega, there should be no chayav malchus.
So you're saying Malchus is below the level of Kavain Pogimbo. Why do you say that?
Well, again, what we're assuming now, according to Rabbi Kivega, is that Kanoim Pogimbo is a Chiyuv Misa. Again, it's not exactly a Chiyuv Misa because it's only Rishus, but as far as our purpose is concerned, to generate Kimlev Ravine, it's a Chiyuv Misa. Now, whenever you do an action that engenders a Chiyuv Misa and a Chiyuv Malchus, you get Misa and you don't get Malchus.
It's a possible Chiyuv Misa.
That's enough, right? Even a possible Chiyuv Misa is enough.
But that's also the possibility by Malchus, because Malchus is potentially can kill him. It's where the
Mishayer. So you have a kasha, but you have to accept the rules of the game. Then you could ask kashas. But what's relevant to our discussion is the following rule: that when you chayav misa and malchus, you get misa and you don't get malchus, even if we don't implement the misa, as we discussed at great length. So here's the case of kanoim pogimbo. We never actually implemented the kanoim pogimbo. That's the case of the Rambam. But nevertheless, he's chayav misa under the law of kimle under the law of kanoim pogimbo. That's what Rabbi Kivega assumes. Once he's chayav misa, he shouldn't be getting malchus. Why? Because kimle the Rambam tells you when you have misa and malchus, then you get the misa and you don't get the malchus. How could the Rambam therefore talk about a case of kanoim pogimbo where he had this be'ila in a public place, and yet the Rambam says he's chayav malchus? The only possible answer to that question would be that there's no kimle with the Rambam in kanoim pogimbo. Hence, we undermine Rabbi Kivega. Now, if you'll ask me, what's the logic? If there's a chiyuv misa, how could he be chayav malchus? What happened to kimle with the Rambam in? The answer is because he's not chayav misa, because kanoim pogimbo is only what? Is only rishus.
Sure,
this is the Shoshana Salmon. I never heard of him. Do you know who he is? Wow.
Who?
I was about to, before you said that, I was about to say the man must have been a big Lamdan. The Prima Gadol was probably the biggest Lamdan in the last, maybe second to Reb Chaim if you're a Brisker, but he's up there. He's up there with Reb Chaim. I don't know. You know, if I, in some yeshivas, if I would say that the Prima Gadol was second to Reb Chaim, they would wince. You know, nobody is second to the Prima Gadol. You know, Prima Gadol is the kingpin.
Do you
can spend a life on the Prima Gadol.
Maybe there is.
If you have it, you know, why not print it out? Great. If you want, if you can publish, look for Dibra Maskel Shuv in case it's 10 pages long.
Right.
Sometimes the Prima Gadol could go on and on and on.
Maybe the Rambam is Michalik, according to Koresh, like on Yom Kippur for the case of.
So wait a second, Herb, just so I can get my head wrapped around what you're saying. What's your goal?
The goal
so
is.
So tell me where you're going to, right? This I have this with my wife all the time. She tells stories. I say, Charney, tell me where you want to get at the end, then tell me the story.
The Chora, the Rambam, and Pesach are not arguing with each other.
The Rambam and Rabbi Kivega are not arguing. Again, so you want to reconcile the Rambam with Rabbi Kivega. Go ahead. Now I'm ready to hear you.
Maybe there's a difference between a Chorus Deraisa and a Chorus De Kabbalah. In regard to Kimle and Rabbinate.
So wait a second, Herb, let me stop you for a technical reason. I think I made a mistake here when I emphasized that this Kares is a Kares with the Kabbalah. I mean, that is what the Rambam says, right. but that's not, I don't think that's relevant to have discussion. I may have mentioned it and I put a germ in your head. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Kanoim Pogimbo.
Right.
So listen carefully. According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, Kanoim Pogumbo equals a Chiyuv Misa.
Right.
How could the Rambam therefore say that you Chayav Malchus? This has nothing to Kabbalah Midivri Kabbalah. I mean, Garis Midivri Kabbalah.
Kanoim Pogumbo, he is, in essence, Mechuyuv Misa.
That's Rabbi Kiva Eger.
Right. I mean, if he gets
how does he get Malchus?
He's not in the Chuyuv Karis, so it's not the same thing.
It doesn't matter. I don't need the Chuyuv Karis, because then you know, if you pull me your direction, you can say, well, is it really Karis? It's only the Kabbalah. Forget about the Karis. I made a big boo-boo when I said that. I got distracted by the Rambam. That's not the part of the Rambam that I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is that the Rambam says, V'lo pagu bo kanon,
right,
which means that if Pinchas was here, he would have taken the sword and killed this guy. But Pinchas wasn't here. We had no one who had the guts to implement Kanoim Pogba, which means that the Rambam, when he's talking about Kanoim Pogba, he's talking about a Farhesia. He's talking about a man who is implementing an action of Bia with a Nachris in public. And the Rambam says, V'lo Hilko. And the Magen Mishnah says, because had to give Malchus, he would be put from Karis, the whole 9 yards. But that's not relevant to us. What's relevant to us is the Rambam says V'lo Ilkol, which means that he's Chayiv Malchus. How can he be Chayiv Malchus? According to Rabbi Kivega, Kanoim Pogumo itself removes Malchus. Why? Because Kanoim Pogumo is a Chiv Misa, and therefore it knocks off. Again, Rabbi Kivega was talking about Mama. He wasn't talking about Malchus. The Shoshanas HaMachim is making one leap of faith over it. He's saying that to the same extent Rabbi Kivega is going to apply Kimle to the Rabbamine, in the case of Mammon, he's going to apply it to the case of Malchus. Now, why does the Shoshanas HaMokim assume so? And that's where I, just 1 second, that's where I quote the Gemara of Misa and Malchus. Okay, we haven't gotten to the Gemara of Misa and Malchus, but you'll trust me on this. There is Kimle to the Rabbamine, not only to knock off Mammon, but even to knock off Malchus. So that if the Rambam would have operated within the framework of Kimle and Rabbeinu, as Rabbi Kivega would insist that he does, then there would be no Malchus over here. There would be no Malchus. So do you understand these three words? I asked you another one. V'lo hilko bezdin. The implication is that Bezdin should have given him Malchus. To such an extent that the Magen Mishnah fears Ois, and he says, had they given Malchus, then the Rambam would not have introduced Karis, because Malchus would patur him for Karis. But this is a situation in which he was Chayav Malchus in Bezdin, as Ois state in the Rambam. Rabbi Kivega would say he can't be Chayav Malchus in Bezdin, because Kanon Pogumbo activates Kimle the Rabbeinu, which applies not only in Misa and Mammon, but also in Misa and Malchus.
When you say, now let's
Misa here.
Let's say they gave him Malchus.
There is Misa, according to Rabbi Kivega, because Rabbi Kivega holds that Kanoim Pogumbo is Misa.
But
I would say no, it's only Rishos.
Yeah, so what if he got Malchus? Does Kanoim Pogumbo still remain?
Again, Kanoim Pogumbo, Alan, you missed this before, only applies during the 5 minutes, again, I don't know if it's 5 minutes, that he and her are together, if you follow what I mean.
Okay, so it is not there occurring at the same time.
What we're saying is that in those 5 minutes that he and her are together, he's Chayav Malchus for violating Lotus Chatein Bom, as I state in the Rambam. If we accept Rabbi Kivega, that's not true. The Rambam would not be justified in saying that he's Chayav Malchus. Why? Because he's Chayav Misa. Rabbi Kivega assumes an equation between Kanoim Pogumbo and a Chayav Misa. Again, you and I would say, why? Who tells you such a thing? But that was Rabbi Kivega's assumption. So if you want to rack your head against rack your brain against the wall, do it. Don't argue with Rabbi Kivega. You want to scream and yell against Rabbi Kivega, I give you all the permission to do so. But at least admit to me that Rabbi Kivega is entitled to his opinion.
But all I want to do is separate in my mind. Now, if any of these punishments took place, Kanoim Pogumbo, of course, that's the end of the story.
Right.
But or Malchus, does that stop the other one, or does it not stop the other one?
Well, again, keep in mind, this is where Herb is talking about the Karis Midibre Kabbalah. If you talk about the Karis Midibre Kabbalah, that's going to be replaced by the Malchus. If you're talking about Kanon Pogumbo, you can't discuss Kanon Pogumbo if they're giving a Malchus. Once they're giving a Malchus, you know, it's after the trial, it's way after those five minutes.
But during that 5 minutes, he was Chayiv Malchus and
Misa.
Yeah,
according to Rabbi Kivega.
And Misa. Okay. Now, let's say for some reason, he couldn't get Malchus. Okay.
Okay. Whatever the reason is.
He couldn't get Malchus. there would still be a din of Kanoim Pogimbo, or there would not be a din?
Yeah, I don't think Kanoim Pogimbo means we have to ask the guy what's his health for, you know, get his, you know, get Kupat Chalim to print out his private doctors, you know, all that information, you know, that he has.
No,
like, I go to my doctor, Kupat Chalim, he knows everything about me since I'm born because he has it all on the computer, you know what I mean?
No, the only reason I'm asking this is because then there'd be a very strong distinction between when the chiyuv of Misa, or the possibility of Misa, is related or unrelated to the chiyuv of Malkus or to the chiyuv of Mammon.
So wait a minute, I want to tell you a secret, Alan. Yeah. I agree with you on a pure conceptual level, but Lamais, it's not so. I'll tell you why. The Gemara says that a man took a chetz, he shot it out, Dalad Amos B'Shus HaRabim. During its flight, before it landed, it ripped someone else's Shirayim, and the Gemara says he's parted from Tashlum. What is the connection between your Shirayim and my Meleches Hotzah? It happens to be that you put your laundry out on the, you know, like here in Katamon where I live. Yeah. You know, they call it Katamonu. Yeah. You know, you can't, you know, if you want to go to my apartment here, you got to duck through all the stuff that's hanging on the line over here, you know. Which makes me feel I'm in the Israel that I came to when I was 18. You know what I'm saying? So, what's the difference between your clothes on the line and my Meleches Hotzah?
What's the connection?
And the Gemara also says he's a shogeg. He didn't even know about the shirayim. Nothing, but yet we say kimlei rabbin.
So the order of things makes a difference. Now, what happened? If instead of ripping your garment on the way to killing him,
right.
What happened is he killed him, and the subsequent bleeding on his shirt ruined his shirt.
No, that I understand, but I'm just pointing out that you shouldn't limit kimlei the rabbin to that case. Your case would be an intuitive kind of kibbutz rabbinic. The Ritzich itself created the chiyuv mammon, you know, the hezek. Right. But I'm just pointing out that you can have a total coincidence of two actions that have nothing to do one with the other. One generates a chiyuv misa, the other generates a chiyuv mazik, and he's potter as a mazik because of kibbutz rabbinic. There's no relationship, it was purely coincidental. So I'm just telling you for your own edification, we didn't get up to that yet. That's going to be a sugya on daf Lamed Omid Beis, you know, I can show it to you inside, but that's the point. Now, Rabosai, remember I told you that I wanted to have the original because I wrote myself a note, which you won't have on that page. Here's the note I wrote myself. It's a very short note, but if somebody could straighten me out on this, I'd be very appreciative.
Papa said he never said any of this.
Here's the note. I wrote to myself the following. That on this line, why is there no Kimlei Rabbeinu? And the Rambam says he's Chayav Malkus. He says Mishum Dehu Rishus. So I wrote the following: Im Kain Lo Choshev Mechuyev Misa. Right, this is against Rabbi Kivik. Right, this is the other side. V'tzarech Li'iyun Maishno Mibam Machteres Diamrinim Bei Kimlei Rabbeinu. Can you answer that question? I got totally perplexed. And I'm going to ask the same question again in about 5 minutes from now, but let's ask it now. We proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Rambam holds that Baba Machteres, you can kill him as a Rishus. And I would never question that. I'm willing to take 10 Shavuos Doraisa that according to the Rambam, Baba Machteres is nothing more than a Rishus.
Okay, I agree.
And yet the Gemara says, and that's how the Rambam paskins, that if the Baba Machteres breaks Kalim, he doesn't pay. Because the Kim lived around. How can you? Thank you so much. Wow, it is very fun.
It was on the first paragraph. You shot me, and I didn't have fun to go, so I gave you the whole truth.
All right, great. See, you hear what I'm asking you, Phil? Maybe you could answer this question. He concludes from this Rambam that you don't apply Kim lived the Rambam in a case of a Rishus, like Kanon Pogimbo.
No, but it's the opposite. What's happening here is like.
What's he going to do with Baba Machteres?
Baba Machteres, all right, you have a Rishus to kill him.
Right.
And you kill him, and in the process of killing him, before you kill him, you ruined the shirt.
No. The Baba Machteres broke Kalim. He's a burglar. He's a no good lowlife. He's a burglar. He's an armed burglar.
Now,
but he breaks Kalim. He doesn't give a hoot about your Kalim. Does he pay for your Kalim?
Yeah, but I'm asking.
By the way, they didn't kill the Baba Machteres. He's alive and well.
Right, because he was just subject to it.
You can't sue him for
him. But where is that the same? That's in the Rambam, right?
I don't know where it is in the Rambam right now. If you could help me with that, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph.
But
if I'm not mistaken, nobody argues. The Gemara, if you can take a look, I need your help on this, you know, just because I can't do all the research myself. Alan, leave out the chetz for a minute. You're getting sidetracked here. No, try to focus just on this. The man has beer with a nachris in public.
Right.
The Rambam says he gets malchus. Comes along the prima gadim and he says, why should he get malchus? Kim leave the Rambam in. The man is under the law of chiv misa now. At the very split second that he violates the love of Lotus Chateimbaum with a B.S. Nachris,
right.
At that very moment, he's Chayav Misa.
Right.
Why? Because he did that bastardly act.
Okay, and what does he want to get pottering? What's it pottering him from?
So Prima Gadim says he should be potter from Malchus. Why? Because Rabbi Kivagas says that a man who has beer with a Nachris would not pay knas. Why doesn't he pay knas? Because kanoim pogimbo. So you see, the Rebbe Kivagas equated kanoim pogimbo with the chi of misa, and therefore he applied the principle of kimle the ramene. Press that button that says on if the screen says kimle the ramene. Why should it be different in the case of Baba Machteres? That's Berzon's kash. I don't know. Again, the Shoshana Sambokim is 10 pages long. So maybe somewhere in this 10 pages he's going to ask this kash. I don't know. Well, I have in front of me. I'm in the garden here, so I all I have is the roe, you know, I have the shepherd. I don't have the roses in the rose bush, the rose garden of the Shoshanas HaAmokim. Yeah, do you want to look that up for me? What I'm looking for is Baba Machteres. Do you have Baba Machteres over there on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph? You know what? Do you have in the back of the Sanhedrin? You have a Ran. I'm not. You see, the trouble is, he says Chidushe Ran. You're not going to have that in the back of the Gemara, because if you have any Ran, it'll be the Ran on the Rif. But I'm sure we have Chidushe Ran behind this wall. If you have the time to look for it. Again, I just want to make sure everyone's looking at page Tzadi Dalit for a second, the previous page, the paragraph that says Ulachora. Do you have that paragraph? So he says, Vafilu Hochi Kaimalon. This is after he established that Bob Machteris is a Rishus, based on the Rambam Hilchos Geneva. Vafilu Hochi Kaimalon. Are you with me? Everybody underline? I think I underlined, so you may have it underlined. I don't know. Kaimalon da Boba Machteris Vishiber Kalim Potu, the Kimle bin Ramine. Yeah, just by show of hands, does everybody have that line?
No.
Oh,
there's four from the end of the paragraph.
Four up from the end of the paragraph for Lechora. Vafilu Hachi, this is after he's established, based on the Rambam Hilchos Geneva, that Bob Machteres is a Rishus. Afilu Hachi Kaimalon, that Bob Machteres Vishiber Kalim Potter, the Kim Leib of the Rambam.
That's the Ran's understanding of the Rambam?
I don't know. You know, it's very unclear. Because I think the Chaim Mavur Bechidusha Ran is that it's a Rishus and not a mitzvah. In other words, he wants to support, you know, the Rambam was a deal. You know, remember we compared two Rambam, so for Sotzech, Gneva. He says that the Ran is outspoken about this, and he says, Beferish, that Bob Machteres is a Rishus. I wouldn't even question this assumption. To me, it's a dover portion, it's upgrade, that Baba Machteres is a Rishus. The man is not threatening your life.
Yeah, but
the Gemara says he's threatening your life because you have Adam Omeid Al Mamonim. I have a right to say, I don't have to turn over my bed and sleep on the other side because somebody's burglarized me and let him take my Rembrandt. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get up and I'm going to accost him. I mean, again, it might cost my life, so we got to be really careful. But at least You know, that's what a person would normally do. Chazok al Adam sha'omen al memoyim. Therefore, my life is in danger. But my life is not really in danger. So the whole business is a rishus. But Bosa, I'm not going to argue. If you want to argue with me, and you want to tell me Bava Machter is a mitzvah l'hargo, fine. I'm not going to argue with you. But at least grant me that the Rambam and the Ran, again, we don't have the Ran, both maintain that Bob Machteris is a Rishus. Now he says the following. This, I think, is like a new paragraph, so to speak, meaning there's a semicolon here before Vafilu Hochi. Vafilu Hochi Kaimalon, the Bob Machteris Vashibar Kalim Potter, the Kimle. I see Yechiel's asking me, show that to me in the codes. So I'm throwing the ball back in your court right now simply because I don't have the time to do this. If you can find out for me, he wasn't absolutely clear here. He says, I have total faith in the man. He wouldn't say this unless he knew that this was the case. So right now I'm working with Emunas Chachomim. I'm just pointing out that his conclusion, Alma, in that same paragraph, is Gam Hecha Shechiv Misa Hurak Rishus Nami Potumi Tashlumin. Do you follow? And that's his proof to support Rabbi Kivega. I'm just now fast forwarding to the Shoshanas HaMokim, who's Medayik from the Rambam in Hilchas Yisurei Bia. There's so many Rambams flying around here, it's an amazing research project. That a Rambam in Yisurei Bia seems to assume that even when this Kanoim Pogimbo, nevertheless, he will get Malkus. And that undermines the principle of Kim Leib the Rambam, because whenever there's a Chiv Misa, and again now we're saying that a Chiv Misa applies even to a Rishus, then you're part of from Malkus. Well, why then in Kanoim Pogumov, according to Rabbi Kivega, who says that we do apply Kim Levi Rabbinei in that kind of a Chiyuv Misa of Kanoim Pogumbo, why does the Rambam say Yechayv Malkus? And the answer must be because the Rambam never bought into this whole Rishus business. Now again, the answer to my question has to be in the following direction, which I don't begin to see. I'm just telling you where the light might be at the end of the tunnel. That there's two types of rishus. There's a rishus like Kanoim Pogimbo, and that's an upgraded rishus, meaning, you know, you're gonna get brownie points for it. It's not a mitzvah. You know, we can't obligate you to kill this Zimri. But if you do so, you're gonna get a bris kunas olam, right? That's one level of rishus. And that's where Rabbi Kivega insists that we apply the principle of Kimla. There's a lowercase Rishus, and that's Baba Machteris. I don't know if the owner of the house who's being burglarized, if he goes ahead and he kills the Baba Machteris, I'm not sure that we're going to give him shishi in shul. I don't know if he is going to get a bris kuhunas olam. He's going to get rewarded for it. I don't know. It might be a pure rishus. What do we mean by pure rishus? It's rishus, but there's no element of kiyama mitzvah at all. I don't know. But that might be one approach to try to answer this all up.
Yeah. I think the thing is, we're focusing on the fact that they're both rishus, and yet at the same time, one of them ends up in
Kim Levi the Rabbinate. That's the case kind of in Pokemon.
I think the reason is because the actual reason for the Misa, the potential Misa that's involved, are totally disjointed. They're not the same.
Right, absolutely.
The reason for it is because by the Be'ila, where it was Chayiv Misa, where it was potential because of Kanoim Bogim, the Misa is because of Kinas Shema in the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
It's all about Kilesha. All that Kinas Shema.
Which has nothing to do with this, what this man
absolutely
did. He didn't.
That's why I'm telling you, if you kill the Bob Rock Terrace, I'm not sure that you're going to get any credits for that, any brownie points.
Yeah, because the Bob Rock.
Now, that may sound like a happy curses, but I don't think that when a person protects his property, he'll get money for that. I mean, he'll get schar for that. I don't know. Again, it could be that, look, you know, I have to support my family, and I have to continue learning Torah. This guy is going to bankrupt me when he takes every last piece of property out of my house, and he's going to break into my safe, and so forth and so on. Yeah, maybe that would be a mitzvah. But if you talk about the following, let's say he's going to burglarize, and he's going to take, you know, some very special piece of property that I own, I don't know if the Torah is going to advocate that you put your life into danger to face this guy. Again, if you have ten black belts in martial arts, maybe that's what you should do. But if you're a regular yeshiva shlub like me, you know, I mean, I don't know if the Torah is going to advocate that for the sake of protecting my property.
Forget all that.
Confront this guy, excellent, and put him to death. I don't know.
You don't have to worry about
that. So that's
that.
A pure rishus.
Forget
know.
All that. The fact is, when he was when he's Baba Machteris, he brings upon himself the possibility of Misa.
Right.
By the other case of the Be'ila, he's not bringing upon himself the Kanoi. The Kanoi is a whole different Indian. It's the Indian of the covenant of the Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's got nothing to do with the fact that he was Boel, this woman.
But there's a paradox here, because in the case of Bob Machteris, where I understood you, he's even more severe of a criminal. He's bringing this upon himself, and yet paradoxically, we're letting him off the hook. He could break all the Kalim, rip your Rembrandt, and he doesn't have to pay for that.
The reason is now here, because now what he's bringing upon himself. It's his action that does both things. That's why he would be chayiv in paying for the kalim, and that's why he would have to pay with his life.
Oh, so that's why we're going to apply kalim.
But
you have it? Excellent. What does it say? Can you read it? Let me write this down.
Yeah,
one second. Perek Tes Gneva Halacha Yud Gimel.
So it's called Ganav Sheyesh Lo Damim Im Nafal Alav Gal B'Shabbat Mufakchim Alav V'im Shavar Kalim B'Viyaso Chayav B'Tashlom.
That's only because what? Yesh Lo Damim.
Right.
But if he was Ein Lo Damim,
that's the Kalim B'Viyaso Patur.
That's the part.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even hear the Ram, but I was medayik for the Rish, but the Ram says it out. He's outspoken.
It's a mission in Sanhedrin, I bet.
Okay. Oh, the Ran is on Ayin Gimel for whatever reason. That's what threw us off. So it's on Ayin Bet.
Okay, Ayin Bet Omer Aleph.
We love Ayin Bet. That's my favorite daf in Shas. Is always Ayin Bet. Azaria Berzin. Anyway. How are we doing on the clock? Okay, we're not doing great. Now, I want to learn the next paragraph with you, because again, I'm going to ask you the same question. V'hine ha'chronim makshim. And he doesn't tell you who the achronim are, but in a footnote here, he mentions the Divrei Yecheskel Rashiv of Mir. When I talk about Mir, I mean back in Mir. And he says the following: Amai itzrich lekamon b'daf lamed heyam and aleph letana dechizi liftorot seaf b'shogim b'tashlumin.
Where are you now?
Number mem dalet on page tzadi hey.
Okay.
So now the case is what we call chayve misas shogigim. Correct? So the Rotzeach killed someone b'shogeg. And Chizkiah, Tanit Be'Chizkiah, is going to try to derive from a very complicated Yalfusa that he's potter from Tashlumin. Okay then? So let's say the man, Chveis, he's on the top of a roof and he's rolling his roller, you know, trying to flatten out the roof. And he lets go of this big machine and it kills somebody on the way down. He doesn't have to pay damages. And how does Tanya Be'Chizkiah know this? From a very sophisticated hekesh between Maka Odom and Maka Behema. I'll just say it over very quickly. I don't want to go through it now. It'll take me 10 minutes to go through it. Meaning a chayv even on shogeg is af maka adam lo chilakabo bein mezid l'shogeg lefotro. Very complicated legal, and lefotro means that if he killed someone b'mezid, he's potter. If he kills someone b'shogeg, he's likewise potter. So the Divrei Yecheskel has a gevaldige kasha. I'm telling you, I learned this kasha. To me, this kasha is like me'ein olam haba. I get physical pleasure from this kasha. Typically, what does Chizkiah have to climb the mountain here in order to come up with this most complex limud? I don't need complex limud. Belavach he's potev in tashlum. Why? Because he killed someone b'shogeg. At this moment in time, he's a dead man. Why? Came into Rishus b'yad gol adam lahargo havi lekim lebi the ramamine. What's the difference between Rotzeach b'mezid and Rotzeach b'shogeg? In both cases, we put him to death. In the case of Rotzeach B'Mezid, Bezdin will put him to death. In the case of Rotzeach B'Shogeg, the Gol Adam will put him to death. And if the Gol Adam doesn't put him to death, okay, he didn't get a chance, he didn't succeed. But at that moment, when the roller, you know, crushed the other person, Rachman Litzlan, at that moment, he was Chai of Misa. So the Diri Yecheskel says lechora muchach mikan the kaimolon kaimon the kaimolon the reshus biadgo. Please underline that word reshus 50 times, right? Biadgo adam lahargo in eino mitzvah is memela ein bezek kim levi the rabbinet.
Oh boy.
This is an incredibly beautiful Diri Yecheskel. I mean, if I could take a time, you know, if I could take a what do they call it, a time machine? What do they call it? And go back 150 years, 120 years, and sit in the Mir Yeshiva just to hear this Rosh Yeshiva, that's what I would do. It's an unbelievable deal. This Kim Levi Ramimine, the man rips his friend's shirt as he's killing him. Okay, he killed him in Shogeg, but the din is ain lo damim, as I state in the pasuk, meaning that the Gol Adam could kill him as he's killing his friend. If that be the case, as he's killing his relative, I should say, right? And if that be the case, then let's apply Kim Levi Ramimine. I don't need this whole sophisticated drasha to equate Maka Adam to Maka Behema. The answer to this problem is that it's only a reshus to kill the Rotzeah. There's no mitzvah on the Gol Adam to kill the Rotzeah, which is, by the way, a whole sugya Masechta the Makis. But yeah, he says, Kaimel, and he doesn't tell you where to look for this. I'm sure if you're looking at the Rotzeah, you'll see that we paskin like that Tana, I don't remember the Tana's name, who says that it's a reshus but not a mitzvah. And the Gol Adam is allowed to do so. Now again, in the balance of this article, he's going to talk about exactly at what point for the Mishnah says first we have to take the guy into Beis Din and try him and decide whether he was a Mezid or was a Shogeg, and then we give him over to the Gol Adam. So maybe it's not Be'idna, you know, it's not, but that's not the point. The point is that he proves from this that there's no Kimlev in the Rabbimin in a case of a Rishus. Again, I'm going to ask what I wrote on the side. Shuv Tzarech Iyun, I wrote, Maishna Ami Bob Machteres. And Bob Machteres, we also proved, and it's not only the Rambam, it seems it's other Rishonim, is a Rishus. And yet, we saw the Rambam now, thanks to Yechiel, Perik Tes, Milchus Kneva, Alof Yud Gimel, that the Rambam says that he doesn't pay damages because of Kimlev the Rambam, even though Bob Machteres is only a Rishus. What's the difference between Bob Machteres and the case of Gol Adam? Now again, you know, you can always ask yourself, does the Gol Adam get brownie points if he kills the Rotzeach? My sense, I don't know if you agree with me, is no. I'm not going to give him shishi because, oh, he comes to Shul on Shabbos and he's boasting that he is the Gol Adam who killed the Rotzeach. I don't like it. In my books, let him find another Shul to go to. You know, the Torah really considered the anger, and you know, on the part of the Gol Adam. But the Gol Adam is not saving anyone's life. He's basically just putting someone to death. Now, I'm not saying that the Rotzeach is a tzaddik. He's really, if not for the Gol, he's going to spend the rest of his good days until the Kohen Gadol dies in the year of Miklat. You know, that's not so comfortable. Although Gemara says v'chai, you know, tasalok v'chai, you know,
that's things are everywhere with him.
That he has to take his Rebbe with him because v'chayim v'hem v'loshiyomis v'hem, and Reb Chaim Shlevitz is a whole drush about that, right? That the Torah is our life. You know, life in the year of Mikla wasn't so bad, I don't think. I don't know, maybe it was. Maybe. I think the real estate was pretty cheap, so at least he didn't have to pay high rental fees. And not only that, the mother of the Kohen Gadol was feeding him like left and right. I mean, she brought him like apple pie on a daily basis because just don't pray for the death of my son. So I don't know that it was so terrible, but nevertheless, it's terrible. You know, he's got to go into Golus. Nobody wants to go into Golus and hang around with all those other rotzkim. You know, that's not where you want to spend the rest of your life. But nevertheless, to kill him for that, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of lumdus here because there are Rishonim who seem to assume that a Rotzeach B'Shog is really Chayv Misa. Just that the Torah gave him an Ir Miklat to protect him. The Gol Adam gets a hold of him before he gets to the Ir Miklat, or if he runs out of the Ir Miklat. So the Gol Adam is really doing what the Torah wants him to do. So that's one man who says that mitzvah lahargo, that he has a mitzvah to kill him. But we paskin, it's only a reshus. So maybe in such a reshus, we can't call him we don't classify the Rotzeach as a Rotzeach in the sense of a Chiyuv Misa. So there's only a reshus lahargo. And in that case, it's like Baba Machteres. But in the case of Kanoim Pogimbo, there Rabbi Kivega says, if you kill him, you're Pinchas, and you're gonna get rewarded with briskunas. Oh, I don't know. Don't take any of this seriously, because it's just just my musings. Now what I'd like to see is Noma Mem He on the same page. So again, Rabosai, what I'm skipping here is a very fascinating discussion, if we were learning Masechta Makis, about whether or not the Gol Adam could actually kill the Rotzeach at the moment that the Rotzeach is killing his relative. Because there's a whole process in which we have to take him back into Beis Din and so forth and so on. Vihine, Lidas HaRambam HaNal, right, this was the Rambam that back in Nomba Mem Gimel we medayik from him that b'machteres a mitzvah larog, the Rambam in Hilchos Geneva, it's only reshus, and yet the Rambam also paskins kimle b'the Rambine shemaganov horag es hamatzil eino nerag olav. What it means is the following. I don't want to say I. Let's say Reuven breaks into Shimon's house. Correct? And what happens is that Shimon, to protect himself, confronts Reuven, the owner of the house, and Reuven is killed by Shimon. So look at this guy. I mean,
same thing you always said about Zimri killing him?
Correct. Exactly. That's where he's going to quote this Mishnah Melech. But before we get to the Mishnah Melech, I just want to understand something. Just, this is my emotional feeling. This guy is such a rotten bum. Bad enough that he's a burglar, but not only that, he's a murderer. So he's both a burglar and a murderer. I mean, I wouldn't say the two in one breath. And yet, the halacha is Eino Neragalov. He kills the man who he's burglarizing. I mean, it's like a movie. You know, you can imagine, you can write on in Hollywood, a movie. He burglarizes the guy and then he murders him. I mean, it's like this is the worst of the worst. I mean, I know someone who never died. I have a very close friend whose mother was killed in South Africa. And what they did was they burglarized her and then they choked her to death. I mean, it's horrible. She died. So this is the case of a burglar. And if you'd ask me, I don't even think that there's a punishment that we can give him that he's worthy of. Death is letting him off the hook. And yet, we cannot put him to death. Why? Because the Rambam says that Bava Machteres is not a mitzvah l'hargo, it's only reshus. And then we're going to apply the principle of the Mishnah Melech, that whenever there's a reshus, then the person who's being threatened, because the other person is taking advantage of his reshus, that person is a nirdaf, and he could kill the rodef. So the Mishnah Melech says the following: Dafka v'bol aramis amrinan dimnis hapech haboel. If Zimri turns around the hargis hakanoi and he kills Pinchas, potur mishum shekanoim pogimbo hu rishus v'chein rotzeach b'shogeg, and a Gol Adam is after him and he's trying to kill him, and now the rotzeach turns around and he kills the Gol Adam, is he's potur the rishus b'yad Gol Adam l'argas rotzeach v'lo mitzvah aval b'rodei facher chaver l'horgo. And I'm telling you, if you were a professor of ethics, you would give an entire lecture just on this. This is so ethically solid, this Mishnah. It's absolutely stunning. B'rodei facher chaver l'horgo kevon de mitzvah hi l'chol odom la'atzilo im harag ha'rodei v'samatzil nerag olav. So what happens now is that as soon as the owner of the house confronts the whatchamacallit, the Baba Machteres, the halacha defines the Baba Machteres as a rodent. That's the way the halacha sees it. He came in as an armed robbery. We're not talking about a robber who steals your pocketbook. You know, he puts his hand into your pocket. That's not a rodent. But a Baba Machteres with ammunition, he's a rodent. It's not coincidental that he's holding on to this ammunition. At that point, once he becomes a rodev, so now you're not going to tell me that if he kills the Balabayas that he's going to be potur because a rodef who kills, I'm sorry, the yeah, I got it. The rodef who kills the nirdav is not potur.
You know, it's not, of course. I think the actual text is kinyar though. I don't know if it matters.
We're here in this text?
Well, in this case, a case where you, you know, the reason why you're allowed to kill him is because you're
presenting. Or in the Gemara itself, it says kinir.
It might. I was looking at the Divrei Chesed, and that's what he writes.
He writes kinir. Okay.
So I assume he's quoting.
But let's see if we can understand his punchline here. Lefize, Ledas HaRambam, Gam B'machteres Shehi Rishus, just one second, Mimele, Ein Agan of Nerag. So just one second. Mm-hmm. I lost it. I'm sorry. Give me again. I need a 5 minute break. I forgot it. Just one second. Again, according to the Mishnah Melech, Dafka b'Bol Aramis Aminim Nes Nesabech V'Hargas Hakanoi Potur, because Kanoi Pogam is only Rishus, and also in the case of Gol Adam, if he turns out he kills Avol b'Rodef Achar Chaver LaHargo. Avol b'Rodef Achar Chaver LaHargo. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a little confused here by Bob Machteres. So we'll come back to Bob Machteres later. Leave Bob Machteres on the side for just a minute. We'll come back to him in just a minute. But let's talk, for example, about Rodev. The Rambam says, in the case of a Rodev, is mitzvah kol Yisrael la'argo.
While he's being a Rodev.
Correct. As long as he's a Rodev.
As soon as he stops, he's not there.
Excellent. But while he's a Rodev, mitzvah kol Yisrael la'argo. So the Mishnah Lemech says the following. That if the Nirdav turns around and kills the Rodev, then Neragov. Why? Because it's not like the case of Zimri, because there's no mitzvah incumbent upon Pinchas to kill Zimri. It's not like the case of a Rotzeach who kills the Gol Adam, because there's no mitzvah on the Gol Adam to kill him. Well, so if that be the case, now let's see, I want to get back to our discussion over here about Bob and Machteres. So let's start the paragraph again. L'das haram din Bob Machteres ein mitzvah lahargo. Ela, what was just bilvad is lefi zeh yetze lanu din chodosh di magan of hargis hamatzel ein onen. Oh, okay. I thought that this was about Kimli Ramine. But leave out Kimli Ramine. What he wants to know is the following. If the Bob and Machteres, see, I don't know at what point you have to. Again, we're gonna have to. There are a couple of glitches here, so we'll have to work out the sequence. Because I think what I said before is right. That once there's a confrontation, then the Bob Machteres is considered kirodef, okay, with the chafadimim. But let's assume that somehow at some earlier stage, I don't know exactly how to work this out. So you'll help me with this, but the Ganov now turns around and kills the Matzil. So the Ganov Horiges HaMatzil. In my Ganov Horiges HaMatzil. And I call this the double. So it's the Rosh Hashanah Roshoyim, right? The capital ridge.
Where's the
Matzah? It's Eino Neragolov. Why Eino Neragolov? Because the Mishnah Melech says that in those two cases, if he turns around and he defends himself, he's not Nerag. And that's because in those two cases, there's no mitzvah lahargo. It's only a Rishus. So then, according to the Rambam, if Bob Machteres is only Rishus Lahargo, then if he turns around and defends himself, he shouldn't be killed. Lefizel Ladasaram, Gam Machteres, he Rishus Mimele in a Gan of Nerak. Right, that's what he's saying. This is the Rosh Shiva the Mir? No, this is the Afikiyah. Oh, this is Afikiyah. I heard of the Afikiyah. I forgot his name, but he lived also about a century ago. So, one second. This is not such good news for me, because I wanted the professor to give a lecture in ethics about this. Now I have second thoughts. What happened over here? But why isn't he a Rodev? Just one second. I don't have the technicalities here. At what point let's say the Baal Bais is up on the second floor and he takes a shotgun and he's about to kill the Ganav, right? So the Ganav pulls out his fast, you know, his firearm, and he kills him first.
Right.
So there's no mitzvah at that point to kill because he's still on the top floor. Because again, if he comes down the ladder, if he comes down the steps, and he confronts the Ganav face to face, then I believe at that point there's a mitzvah lahargo. If anybody's around and above my terrace is now threatening the life, before, I'm not talking about theoretical, but there's an actual threat to the life of the owner of this house, then in that case it's mitzvah. Again, Lefiani is daiti unless I'm missing.
Then he's a rodef.
Then he's a rodef. In other words, this is an armed robber. He puts his hand into his pocket. He's got a pistol in his pocket. Correct?
Right.
And he's looking. He's looking at the Baal Bais who's 2 inches away from him. He's about to shoot his gun. Then I would say everybody has a mitzvah lahargo. And if he kills the Baal Bais at that point, then he's going to be put to death. Right? He's going to be put to death.
True.
Well, again, because what is the Mishnah Melech's point? The Mishnah Melech's point is that in the case of a Gol Adam, or in the case of Kanoim Pogba, there is no mitzvah. But in the case of a Rodev, where there's a mitzvah to kill the Rodev, then if he kills the Nirdav, I'll read it to you outside, Avam Rodev, Adam is a no, Kevon she mitzvah he lechol Adam, lahatzil, and to kill the Rodev, therefore, im harag ha-rodev ha-samatzil
nerag.
I would say that if at some point there's a face-to-face confrontation between the Baal Bais and the Ganav, and the Ganav is what's the word I'm looking for? He's reaching for his pistol.
It's not reshus.
Then at that point, it's mitzvah l'argo. And therefore, if he kills the Baal Bais, then in such a case, we'll put him to death. What's the case that he's addressing where there is no mitzvah l'argo? It's the case where the Baal Bais is still on the top floor. He came out of his bedroom. He heard all the noise, and he's now using, or should I say, implementing his chus, his rights to kill the Baal Machteres. But
there's no chus.
But he has a reshus, right? He has a reshus to kill the reshus. I mean, I don't know.
Himself.
I called it a reshus. Call it a reshus.
But he has the reshus to defend himself.
No. He can kill him even before the confrontation.
The
Baal Machteres in a second might run away from the house. I can kill him before he runs away. Again, what would be if I see him running away? That's a little different.
Shoot him in the back.
You can shoot him in the back. That's the reshus.
Where do you see that?
Inside the house.
Where do you see that?
Then that's what Baal Machteres is all about. The whole thing is Baal Machteres.
He's coming at you, not when he's running away.
No. He tunnels his way into your house, and that threatens your life because you're gonna cost him. You're gonna come confront him.
Yeah, but you're not. You're running away now.
So we do you have it there? It's in the same Perek Tes. You don't mind reading it?
I don't mind reading it.
Thank you so much. So again, Rabosai, what is the Afikiyam saying? The Afikiyam is saying that although there's reshus for the Baal Bais to kill the Baba Machteris, there's no mitzvah to kill the Baba Machteris, not him or anybody. Nobody has a mitzvah to kill the Baba Machteris. If the Baba Machteris now
turns around and kills
me, it's not inevitable.
Just 1 second. The Mela Eina Ganav Nerag Im Horgas Hamatzil. What is going on here? I don't have the mitzvahs here. The Machteres ain't mitzvah is a ganav. She says, "Fize yotzal di Hashem im a ganav horiges hamatzil."
That's once they confront each other. Then he's a rodev.
Yeah. So why is he saying a neragel?
A life will be taken.
So why is he saying a neragel if he is a mitzvah? His whole point is that there's no mitzvah. Correct. Baal Machteres is no mitzvah. If it's at the point where he's mamish confronting him, hello, what he's shooting from a distance. Let's just think. If he's shooting from a distance. So what, he killed the Matzil? What does he mean, he killed the Matzil? He killed the Matzil
to save his own life.
Maybe the Matzil means to save his property. I don't know what he means by killing the Matzil.
Yeah,
is the Matzil threatening, is the Matzil is threatening to kill the Ganav? And what, at this point, the ganav is not yet threatening?
The matzil could have been passive. And,
they're at a distance, right? So the batzel, right, the matzil could have let him fly the coop, right?
There wasn't going to be an inevitable death. In
right.
Rodef, there's an inevitable death.
Right, so wait a minute. So we're going to say the following. What happens here? Why is the... I'm trying to understand the metzius here. Why is the ganav killing the balabais? What is... Where is the balabais? Why is he killing the balabais? And we're saying that if he kills the balabais, he ain't no nero. Where is he? What's the scenario?
He's not killing him.
No, he says Haganov Hargo. He says,
yeah, kill him.
Hargas Hamatzil. Again, I don't know who this Matzil is. I've been talking about a balabais. But anyway, but Yechiel, do you see those words? I mean, that's the whole thrust of this Afikiyam.
Wait, I don't know which words am I looking exactly, because I see a rabbi.
On line 3. You have line 3? He says, "If I got of Hargis Amatzil," and also you'll see it again in the last line. The Mela ain't I got of Neragim Hargis Amatzil. You see that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. That's
what's the Metzius here? Because
he's not threatening him.
I don't get the Metzius.
Oh, let's just see. It's not like, oh boy, no. Now you've done it.
It's Rishus. What does that have to do with it? Why should it?
Oh, there is Mincha.
Why should what?
All right, we'll stop here for Mincha. I just have to get to the Tzius, and then I'll understand the lump.